Dr. Cabral, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can, yes. Okay.
There is no video, though.
Okay.
Okay, there is now. Thank you.
Okay, great. All right. So you can hear us. We can hear you. And I just opened the meeting so we can move ahead to the first item on the agenda, which is a vote to accept the Frank B. Randall Scholarship donation. Dr. Cabral?
Thank you. Our Director of Guidance, Susan Mancuso, is here to discuss this extremely generous donation and answer any questions you may have.
Okay. So, yes, would you like to come on up? And Chrissy, do we have, is there a microphone up there?
Yes, there's one right here. Good evening, everybody. Just a little bit of background. The Frank B. Randall Scholarship has been awarded to Oliver Ames students for at least the past 20 years. I've been here for 10 years. And then my knowledge, it was granted at least 10 years prior to that. The origins are unclear. It's been in district for so long that we actually don't even have the documentation anymore. But it has been managed by the Bank of America, the trust, since its beginnings, from our understanding, with specific instructions to award approximately $1,000 to 2 to 4 students annually based on the annual interest. With no family members attached to the trust, and Bank of America is looking, their philanthropic division reached out to us. They're looking to clean up and consolidate a lot of the trusts that they're working with. So this wasn't the only one, but they want to terminate their relationship with this trust. So we turned to the town of Easton, and with the help of Linda Hawks, who's been fantastic working with the Bank of America managing this situation, we have been approved to transition the balance, the remaining of this trust, with your permission, to be managed by the town of Easton. We do actually have 14 other scholarships that are currently managed by the town, so this wouldn't be unfamiliar. In total right now, it's $116,137.60, which again, if we're really looking at awarding scholarships off the interest every year, this could really go on for a long period of time, and it's a significant amount of money for students. So we're hoping that the school committee will consider approving this gift.
Okay.
I'm sorry, can you repeat
that? Sure. $116,137.60.
Do any school committee members have any questions or comments?
No, well, yeah, I'm old, but and the name rings a bell, but I don't really know where that came from either. So,
I was hoping you might know.
So you don't feel so bad. But I'm going to find out.
Okay.
I'll find out Sunday. Yes, okay. And I'll let you know.
Thank you. Please do.
Any other comments from the committee?
Are there any terms assigned to the scholarship that we should be aware of in terms of who can receive it or anything else?
No, basically the terms were just the $1,000 to 2 to 4 students annually based on the amount of the interest accrued that year, which we can check with Linda on. We have, since I came on board, I followed what the process had previously been, which was it's GPA based.
And we'll continue to do $1,000.
Correct.
You know, we're always in awe of all of the scholarships that are available. So I see no reason to not move forward with transferring this over to the responsibility of the town, as similar to the other scholarship funds that are being managed at the town level. So with that, would somebody like to make a motion then to, this is coming in as a donation. Is that how we're framing it?
Yes, I'm sorry. My apologies. We're going to take it as a sum that's going to go to the town.
Okay.
Accept it as a donation, and then they will maintain the balance for this purpose.
Okay. All right, great. Would somebody then like to make a motion to accept the donation of the Frank B. Randall Scholarship?
Second, DeLuca.
Roll call. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Next item on the agenda is a vote to approve new sponsors to the sponsor list. So Dr. Cabral, I'll hand it over to you. And I don't know if you can see, but we do have a couple of guests in the room that's related to this agenda item.
Okay, wonderful. So the school committee pre-approves any companies or individuals that are sponsors of athletic teams or programs or anything that will be advertised to make sure that they're appropriate and fitting for the school department. Right now, we have several that are being proposed by specifically the Iron Tigers, but also one in particular for a program that ECAT will be running. So if the guests are here to speak about any one of those, they can provide some more detail. The list is rather self-explanatory. It lists the companies, and then Lynn was kind enough to give you a brief description of the function of each company for your consideration.
Great, yes. So if you'd like to come up, you can stand at the podium and I'd like to hear more about, let me see which one this is. Thanks, Marks.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Hi, my name is Priscilla Almquist-Olson. Many of you recognize that name from programs on ECAT, Eastern Community Access Television, and I'm very pleased to represent ECAT tonight. You all have this flyer, and Mark Cardoza of Think Smarts is going to go over that with you. I am here to also to thank Mark and the school committee for considering this program. I have known Mark. He also is a presenter on financial education, and so it's very appropriate and for him to want to offer his services in this regard and to be supportive of this initiative. So I want to thank Mark, and do you have any other questions for me and ECAT?
I think not at this moment.
Okay, so Mark, and here we have one of our little cats. That hopefully will be named by one of the students in the school system. Thank you. One more thing I want to say. Mark has produced a series of six educational episodes that will be appearing on ECAT in the very near future. And so he is doing this as a volunteer, giving of his time and energy, and now he's giving of his financial support here as well. Thank you, Matt.
My son and I did a photo shoot around town to the schools in preparation of that flyer. We have a couple others that we'll share with you later that are really flyers. Great picture. But anyway, I've been working with ECAP for a little while. I got involved. I wanted to start doing some give back, and someone said to me, why don't you try ECAT? Actually, my son. He said, I think you'd be helpful to them and they could help you. And he thought of maybe a financial program would be interesting to kick off. So in doing that, I'm part of the Retirement Education Resource Center of North America, which is what Think Smart is a division of. So in doing that, I got involved with ECAT and Priscilla, and I'm having a lot of fun. One of the problems they're having is streaming is taking over a lot of is hurting revenue. So as people stream, they go away from Verizon and Comcast. And in doing that, we get hurt. So we've lost a lot of money. We didn't lose it, but we didn't get money last year that we should have normally gotten. So we're coming up with unique ideas. This is one of them. For a small donation, you can get a cat, which is wonderful. It's like a tiger cub or kitten. And so this is one of the ideas we came up with. And in doing that, I think we were trying to name it. And I think someone said, let's offer it to the school committee. Let's see if we can have the school name the cat. That's wonderful. I said, well, you know what? That also coincides with what we do with Think Smarts. And that's why I said, you know what? We can run with this. We can use this as a platform to name it, but we can also put ThinkSmarts in the twist and we'll fund it. So that's how it works. So I get it. You don't know what ThinkSmarts is. No one does. Okay? And that's exciting because it's been in, we've been working on it since 2015. So it's a work in progress and it's development. So we started with publishing a book called Positioning for Retirement. And it went national. It's done very well as a book, but it's for older people. Okay? It's for people that are probably 30, 40, 50, and up to 70 and 80 years old. So in doing that, we step back, and if you go to the second page here, you see the board of directors. We step back, and first, Dr. Carol Brown has a PhD in education. She has a bunch of degrees. Then there's Professor Timothy Gagnon. They step back, and Tim said, well, you know, we have a problem because we need to help. Retirement starts at the very beginning, high school. And understanding budgeting and understanding how different financial elements start. So we need to start there in the education process. But if you say retirement to a 16-year-old or 17-year-old, that's 50, 60 years away. So they don't want to hear it. So we had to come up with a name that was exciting, might catch their attention. So one Sunday, we're having dinner, and my son Mike came up with the name ThinkSmarts, went on his phone, captured the domain, and we're off and running. So it was kind of cool. The way put a Z on the end, combine the words, make a little twist. So then we started and we looked at topics. So we don't want to overload students with too many topics because they've got enough on their agenda with just the normal curriculum. But we want to give them something that's practical. So ThinkSmarts in the Retirement Education Center is all about practical, and everything we do has practical application. So if you look at our book, it's got practical applications. If you look at our app, it's all practical. So we stepped back and said, what are the fundamentals? Budgeting, car insurance, health insurance, and there's seven topics. We'll go over them in a second. But that's how it all formed. So this is the board of directors, and I just want to point out that I purposely built the board around education. Dr. Carol Brown couldn't be with us today. She writes books on, she also has a degree in criminal justice, and she writes books on social issues in schools like bullying and so forth. So she's down in New Jersey doing a seminar this week. Tim's in class tonight. He wasn't able to join us, and Mike's on his way to DC. And Larry Zaharoff is actually a resident of Easton, and he's the attorney that supports this and backs us and so forth, and he's actually doing some work for ECAT.
Can I interrupt you for just a moment? So I just want to make sure that we're sticking to the level of detail that we need to make the decision tonight, because
okay.
We do need to keep going on
Absolutely.
The agenda. And
yep.
normally for these, we're just able to quickly review, make sure that, you know, we're familiar with some of the sponsors that we approve
okay.
for various projects, et cetera, you know, that it's not something that runs counter to the strategy and objectives of
right.
public education and things like that. So this information is amazing, but I think we can probably
down
short.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yes.
So in summary, our topics are all based for people from 14 years old on.
Mm-hmm.
This program, ThinkSmarts, is for high school and college students,
mm-hmm.
and it's based on the fundamentals. And we brought technology in it. We have an app called ThinkSmarts, and that brings budgeting together, and it's all in this package
okay.
here.
Great.
And we worked this out with Florida Department of Financial Services has a program, and we've partnered with them in 2016.
Excellent. Okay.
So it's all about financial education.
Okay, that's excellent. So I think that gives the committee enough information to approve or to weigh in on approving the addition of ThinkSmarts as a sponsor of a program that will be shared with our students around the naming of the ECAT, which I think is adorable and clever. and I hope it's something that that the students find exciting and engaging. So this is really great information, and definitely thank you for your time and for the presentation.
No problem, thank you.
Alrighty, thank you. So let's see, so just reviewing some of the remaining sponsors on the list that have been suggested. We have Barrett Technology, LLC, Barrows Insurance, Lansdowne, Inc., which is a landscaping company, MG Enterprises, which is a local repair shop, Micropower Direct, the Middlesex County Deputy Sheriff's Association, Northeast Mechanical, Think Smarts, which we had this wonderful presentation on, and UG2, which is facilities and janitorial. So does anybody have any questions or concerns about any of the other sponsors who have been suggested? Okay, Kelly or Nancy?
No.
Okay, all righty. Great, okay, so would somebody then like to make a motion to approve the additions to the sponsors list? And can I get a second? Sorry.
DeLuca, second.
Okay, and roll, no, not roll call vote.
Aye.
All in favor.
So are we going, we're going forward with this?
Yes, so I think the voting item was just to approve the sponsor.
Okay.
Yep, and then it's within Dr. Cabral's discretion as a superintendent to approve the,
The flyer?
Yes.
Flyer, right.
Yes. So you just needed approval of the sponsor.
Mrs. Souza can notify Think Smarts about the school committee policy disclaimer that goes on the flyer, and then it should be in good order to go.
Okay, yep, and I think it's on.
It is on the flyer, yeah.
Yep, so the flyer does look good. There is one typo on the back.
Second paragraph, the E in Blanche.
Yeah.
You have it in the first one. And
yep, but other than that, yeah.
Not you, maybe, but.
Yep, it looks good to go.
But it is a good flyer.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
So it says here on the flyer, talk to your teacher for more information. Our teacher is going to be provided with that. There was a that we should wanted to know how to tell the teacher something like that. I don't know if you got it.
I don't remember getting the questions, but I'll look again, and we can talk.
Okay.
Yeah, before the flyer goes out.
Yes.
Okay. And I'll be in touch with Kim.
I'm not sure if Mrs. Pruitt's microphone is on, but we can't hear what she's saying.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I just asked about, there's a statement on the front that says, talk to your teacher for more information. And Ms. Souza just talked about an email of questions that Mrs. DeLuca will look into.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
It came up to run this through right from kindergarten to high school, or do we run it through?
Is that one of the questions that was on the, do you remember? I don't remember seeing questions.
So right now, the way this is set up, we're going to go right from the elementary school right through to the high school. Someone had suggested we go to just the K through 5, stop there.
Oh, I think I had said that. I said if you did the initial K through 5, and then if you wanted to go to middle and high school after, when I was talking to Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk, and okay. We'll get it figured out. All right? We'll do that this week, beginning of next week. Okay. Excellent. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Righty. Next up on the agenda, we have approval of the meeting minutes from March 7th. So we can, let's take a look at those first. Okay. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or edits for the March 7th minutes? None. Do we need a minute to just comb through?
Great job.
Yes. There was a lot.
There was a lot to capture.
Yes. Very impressive. As always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Okay, so minutes from March 7th. I'm hearing no questions or comments or edits. Alrighty, so I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes for Thursday, March 7th. Can I get a second?
Second, DeLuca.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And then next up is the workshop minutes from February 15th. And I will make a motion to table these to a future meeting because I neglected, Lynn, to get you the comments that I had on those. So that was with me. I apologize for that. So can I get a second then on a motion to table the workshop minutes from 2:15 to a future meeting?
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You can raise your hand if that's easier.
That's true.
Alrighty. Next up on the agenda is the schedule of payments. Since the school committee last met, warrant 060S has been approved. Okay. And then we have our student representative to the school committee update. Marva?
Yes. Okay. So today's a little bit shorter, but still very action-packed. regarding Blanche Ames, many faculty and administration had originally worried about challenges proposed with the new building and staff. However, many are thankful for the plethora of new opportunities the building has offered, as long as students. Students are very happy with not only the building, but opportunities that they are able to now flourish and that are now highlighted through a bigger building and more staff. And then regarding Richardson Olmsted, Citizens of the Month, again, amongst all grades, have been able to meet with the administration and discuss various concerns from the student perspective and also highlight features of the day that students enjoy throughout the year so that administration and staff have a better understanding, especially as the school year comes to an end. With the middle school, a variety of clubs and activities have been meeting and they've just been growing and thriving throughout the middle school population, which is always great. And then finally, in all of Rames news, lots of good news. Both the high school Friday and Thursday jazz bands won gold medals at their recent competition and will go on to the gold medal showcase at the Hat Shell in early May. And then the high school produced musical Shrek this year is running tomorrow, March 22nd, and then Saturday and Sunday, the 23rd and 24th. And then lastly, 10 of the Oliver Ames students in the art program were recognized in two Massachusetts awards programs. So shout out to all of those students. And then overall, there's just great progress that has been made as students excel both academically and in extracurricular activities.
Great.
Thank you.
Great update. Does anybody have any questions or comments from Marvel? Great. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. So next up is the approval of proprietary platforms for the district in this vote. Dr. Cabral?
Thank you. We are well into the progress of our security project in the district. We are working with our owner's project manager as well as the designer. And in part of that project, we have been meeting regularly with our wonderful first responders, both police and fire, who have been helping us make decisions along the way. One of these is the use of the systems in the buildings. There's a lot of technology involved. And for the long-term viability of the system, we are looking for the school committee to vote on a series of proprietary platforms. The platforms are the same ones that are currently being used in the Blanche Ames Elementary School. We received excellent feedback, particularly from the police department, who have found them to be very user-friendly and intuitive, and they would like the same systems to be used throughout the system. So we need to vote on those. Excuse me. So the school committee needs to vote on those. Because of the security implications, I will not be listing them in public, but I can provide the list to any school committee members who would like to know what those proprietary systems are.
Thank you, Dr. Cabral. Do any school committee members have questions on this topic?
That's not this. That's not this.
No.
I'm sure this goes along the lines of what you just said about how you're not going to
take. I'm sorry, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Okay. I think this is probably along the same lines of what you just said about not releasing things in the public, which I totally understand. But are they like processes, or are they like technology platforms?
Great. It's a great question. It's many different systems, from our video management system to the intrusion detection system. They're all separate systems. But in terms of the proprietary aspect, I can give you an example. The card readers that we have, or the fob readers that we have at some of our schools right now, the technology is proprietary. So as the technology changes, as devices fail, the particular company that we used has gone out of business. And so we can't update security protections. We cannot make adjustments to the system, and we can no longer buy parts for the system. That's because it's owned by that company. It's proprietary to them, and they've gone out of business. So this would be the district owning the rights to these particular systems so that we can use them well into the future, and we can have parts available to us. There are many vendors that use these systems, and so it doesn't limit our ability to choose particular vendors. It just gives us the right to ask for certain proprietary systems that will talk to or be compatible with the system at Blant James.
Thank you.
So I have lots of questions and no voice. And I apologize because I'm a technology person, so I can't help but ask. Are the systems that are used elsewhere that we have then customized for us? So they are vetted with other school systems and well-established, and do we have support from a third-party vendor for things like upgrades and security risk from a cybersecurity standpoint and all of those considerations, or are we trying to maintain the whole thing in-house?
This is, these are the systems that are currently at Blant James. So we have them now. They are the access control system, the video management system, the intrusion detection system, the video intercom system, the visitor management system, the duress system, and the AED emergency phone towers. So it's the technology that's used for each of those functions.
And were they created just for, I mean, we must have bought these off the shelf and then customized for us. Is that correct?
Yes, but it is. It's, we're going to go out to bid for the procurement, for the bids for the building to do the work. Right now we're in design. We want to make sure that the vendors are going to be using these exact systems.
I see, rather than bringing a new set of systems in place.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have any concerns about our ability to maintain them over the years when we no longer have those vendors supporting us?
I did ask those questions. I will admit that I am relying on the security consultants and the security company. From what I am told, these are companies that they expect to be around for quite a long time. Technology that is adaptable, much more advanced than what we have. And the systems we have now, we have been using for almost 20 years. So if we can get 20 years use out of these systems securely, that would be great benefit to us.
Okay. Any other questions?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right. Let's see. So would somebody like to then make a motion to approve the use of proprietary platforms for the district security?
So moved, DeLuca.
Can I get a second?
Second, Loomis.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thank you, Dr. Cabral. Next item is a vote to approve the district's Student Opportunity Act SOA plan. I understand Mrs. Pruitt will be presenting this.
Dr. Cabral, did you want to say anything first, or?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Give your voice a rest.
I know. The Student Opportunity Act was enacted in 2019, which provided funding for additional funding for schools throughout the Commonwealth that were serving students with the greatest needs. This law also included a critical provision that requires every district to set clear targets for improving disparities in achievement among student groups and develop a three-year plan to implement evidence-based strategies to meet their targets. We are due, every district throughout the Commonwealth will be submitting the Student Opportunity Act plan, whether they receive funding or not, it is part of the law. And so before you have the proposed plan. The difference between the Student Opportunity Act plan and a district improvement plan is that this plan in particular narrows in on a specific subgroup. We have identified that our students with special needs, identified with special needs, is an area that we need improvement for. So we are focusing our plan on our MTSS model, which is the multi-tiered systems of support and intervention, to have a clear system in place throughout the entire district, and that we will be working on for the next 3 years. We have to estimate the cost that is associated with this. However, these are all funds that would already be targeted for or earmarked for utilizing to implement this program. It's too bad that Mr. Davidson's entry plan is not being reviewed first for you, because I think that this will be highlighted in his entry plan. So he and I were able to sit down and talk about this before I actually put this together. So this is before you for your approval. If you have any questions, you'll see one portion is highlighted, because that is, I will need to input that it is approved when the date is that it is approved.
Okay. Mrs. Pruitt, can you please explain how much money Easton's going to be getting for the Student Opportunity Act?
Sure. The Easton Public Schools, if I review the plan correctly, I asked our grant liaison through DESE where we could find our funding, and he also was not sure at the time. So when I looked at the information that he provided me, Easton Public Schools will be receiving $0 through the Student Opportunity Act this coming year.
Fortunately, that tracks.
And the amount is like,
out of the operating budget.
It does. However,
it aligns with.
It does. And that's what I want to highlight about this plan. You know, there is two portions to the law that was enacted on Beacon Hill, and this is a portion that affects every district, where the funding for the Student Opportunity Act doesn't necessarily affect every district. The plan itself that we have to create to target everyone, to target a subgroup, does affect every district. So, you know, we had to, like I said, we had to estimate the costs. So in here, we do have interventionists. We do, you know, thinking about staffing, we have professional development, but this is all funds that would be allocated anyway for this. And this will also, again, be highlighted in the completion of our district strategic plan that we're currently working on. So you'll see this as sort of like a one of the indicators as we move forward in creating, you know, this is like a blown up version of a small portion of our district strategic plan. So it's nice timing, because we are able to link this to our strategic plan that we're creating, and we were able to utilize the data that we gathered for our strategic plan in order to determine where to focus our efforts when creating this particular plan. It's just, you know, another thing we have to submit to DESE.
It's noted in here that it's for specific learning disabilities. So you mentioned that it was for a particular subgroup. Is there a subset of learning disabilities in particular that we're trying to work through?
So within the data that we have looked at, we noticed that our students that are identified with specific learning disabilities is they are identified at a higher rate than others. So that is something that we have discussed, and that is part of the data that we've shared with our cabinet, with our executive team, and our strategic planning team as well. Okay. And those are students that we can really target for intervention beforehand, before they actually get diagnosed. The testing process for specific learning disability is a little bit more subjective than some of the other identifications of special ed students.
I just want to provide a bit of context that has to do with the budget and not necessarily the Student Opportunity Act. A good number of these interventionists are currently being paid for with the ESSER funds. These are the COVID funds that are about to expire at the end of this year, at the end of the calendar year. And it's very important to note that they are a critical part of our SOA, our plan to help close these gaps for students, and that they're not currently part of our operating budget. So that is a very serious consideration for next year's budget. We're not going to be able to move them into the operating budget this year because of the lack of resources available from the state and the town. So it is going to be something very important to keep our eyes on for the next fiscal year.
Do you have a sense of the cost of that?
We typically set aside $25,000 for our interventionists.
For each interventionist.
Each interventionist.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the one staffing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so six.
That's over 3 years.
Yep.
Okay. So the allocation of fund is for the 3 years?
Yes.
Do you have to, if you can remind me, do you have to provide interim updates, or is it just the plan?
Just the plan.
Okay. No comments on that. All right. Okay. Any other?
Just so you're aware, our first submission was around literacy. So we did submit that right at the end of COVID. And that was focused on early literacy with the implementation of our new literacy program.
How do you, you may already say this, but how do you identify who, like, what type of students you're targeting?
So there's actually, there's a link that DESE provides us that shows us the data. We actually already identified this. However, it was nice when they provided us the link to see which subgroups were the most at risk, and special ed came up. So they do provide us with a lot of that information. We look at our achievement scores through MCAS. We also, as a district, were able to pull in our other assessments to confirm that matched with MCAS, because we do recognize that MCAS is only one set of assessments to look at. But through MCAS and the district, through MCAS and DESE, they also confirmed for us that special education was our subgroup. Now, we as a district have dug even deeper to look at, and you'll see in the identification here that special education is listed, but also our Black African American students, multi-race, non-Hispanic, and English learners, because within our special ed populations, we did identify the particular subgroups within special ed that needed more support as well. You're welcome.
Does anybody else have any questions for Mrs. Pruitt? Any additional comments? This is very robust and detailed. I can imagine it took quite a bit of time to pull together, but I know that it's work that echoes
yes.
And rhymes with a lot of the work that's underway already.
Yes.
So.
All righty. We have to look at the positives, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. All righty. So if there are no further questions or comments, would somebody like to make a vote to approve the district's Student Opportunity Act plan.
Second, DeLuca.
Roll call, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So next up is a discussion and possible vote to approve the 2024-2025 school calendar, and this is the second reading. So Dr. Cabral or Mrs. Pruitt, I don't know which one of you wants to take the lead today. Dr. Cabral?
Sure. So we always have a minimum of two readings to provide the opportunity for public participation. There were a few considerations that we were asked to look at the last meeting. These included extending the winter break two more days and return to school on January 6th, moving the security training to the beginning of the school year as the first day for staff, and combining the high school parent-teacher conferences in November with the K-8 conferences. And I will let Mrs. Pruitt discuss the suggested recommendations from the staff that she was able to collect.
Sure. So regarding the moving the security training to the beginning of the year before school starts, it was very clear that the staff, both administrators and the teachers themselves, would not like that. They have a lot on their minds to get ready for the start of the year, and having they were hesitant about having such a heavy topic of security to start the year. So that is something that they would not recommend. They were not on board with that. As far as the extending the December break 2 days, we had a little bit of a mixed review. Some of the elementary staff said that they would prefer that. Our administrators would prefer that. However, at the secondary level and through our student services lens, which I actually support as well, we wouldn't recommend the extension of that for the mere fact that we find that our students are more attentive and engaged at that time of the year rather than at the end of the year if we were to take the 2 days and put them towards the end of the year. So with that, that was the recommendation there. However, I do want to note that our elementary principals did see the benefit of extending it 2 days. But as a former first grade teacher, I would also say that the end of the school year is the end of the school year. So, and then the third thing to look at was, there was really no preference about having the conferences. They could do it on the 14th if that's what the school committee is recommending. Mrs. Kavanaugh would prefer the 21st, but they can move it to the 14th. November, sorry, the parent-teacher conferences.
Would their grades be closed?
They may not be. That's the hesitation there.
Okay. Was there and this may have been poor phrasing on my part because I think I was the one who put this forward. Was there any suggestion, or was it asked of the elementary if they would move theirs to the 21st and 22nd?
No, we did not look at that.
Okay, because theirs is the one that's not tied to grades anyway,
correct?
Right?
Correct.
Okay. I don't know if that would even be more disruptive given that Thanksgiving is the following week.
Right.
I did receive some feedback post the meeting from several elementary parents who indicated that they do, in fact, use high school students for childcare on half days, and they were appreciative of the school committee considering consolidating them for that purpose. So that they would be able to cover the half days and actually go attend the conference in person, as opposed to, which I know they can bring their child, but a lot of people don't like to, especially if you're trying to do multiple children.
We can definitely go back and we can ask them. I will point out that the week prior is also disruptive, right? So I don't think that it would be much of a hassle. My initial guess would be that they would not mind moving it to the 21st.
That's a great point, actually, because you have Veterans Day that week anyway, so it might create a more complete learning experience.
Yeah.
With a little disruption as you got closer to Thanksgiving. The month is a mess in general, especially in election year.
No school November for a reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially on election year. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think if you could ask about if they have any thoughts on, you know, moving from the 14th and 15th mm-hmm. to 21st and 22nd for elementary, that would give at least 1 week that has 4 uninterrupted days.
For the majority of families, yeah.
Yes.
And that would be
yeah.
for all families, actually.
Yeah.
That would be something.
Yep. It might be less disruptive for staff as well, allow yeah. them to get a decent stretch of uninterrupted days in.
It's actually helpful for our transportation for the entire district to
yes.
either be a half day or a full day.
That's a great point as well. Okay. Thank you for going out.
Okay.
I will say that one of our elementary principals did say just the conferences in November are better.
Okay.
He didn't specify which date.
Okay.
So.
But instead of the December window, which we've been looking at previously?
Yes.
Is that in contrast?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
So and to just piggyback on that, if the elementary K through 8, not just K through 8, on the 14th and the 15th moves to the 21st and the 22nd, and Dr. Cabral was talking about transportation, is there a way that the high school would also have a half day on the 22nd and teachers could do some kind of PD on the 22nd? So the whole school system would have 2 half days.
No, that's for the parent conferences.
No, I know that. But not for that. The high school does theirs in 1 day. Everybody else does it in 2 days.
Oh, you're saying.
So if the high school's going to keep it at 1 day for conferences and not do, or maybe they could do 2 days. I'm just saying in terms of transportation, if you have 2 half days, 21st and 22nd, that helps the buses.
Yes, it can be done.
It can.
We do it all the time.
I don't know.
The only thing that does is it reduces the time on learning by a half a day for our secondary, and we did not plan for that.
Okay, because the half day is coming up, the half day tomorrow is everybody, and it's only part of them have conferences, but the rest of them have PD. That's all I'm trying, that's what I was trying to propose.
Right.
Okay.
And so this, so the the November half days, would be just like the March half days, where 1 day elementary has it and the other day both have it. Elementary
right.
and secondary. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're very close to time on learning
yeah.
with secondary,
yeah.
very, very close. So I'd be very hesitant to take any time away from the high school especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially given the
just
great
asking.
Flexibility
yes.
and stuff they're trying to build into the next
exactly.
year's schedule anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I think if we could take that back and then maybe get another another crack at this in April, do any school committee members feel strongly that we want to?
Can we at least eliminate?
Yes.
So we have at least the start of school
being
nailed
down. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be helpful to families.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. So then, are there any committee members who would be in favor of option 2, which is similar to option 1, but moves everything back a day in terms of the start date, or of option 3, which has the start date for students falling after Labor Day?
I prefer to.
I prefer to start after Labor Day.
I mean, I really prefer to start after Labor Day, but I don't think most people do, so
yes.
I prefer to.
You prefer option 2? Calendar 2 is what you're saying?
Yes.
I have concerns about calendar 2 because the kindergartners are starting and then going into Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
So
can you remind us of the main differences between calendars 1 and 2? Was it just the just those 3 days at the beginning, so the first day for students, staff, and kindergarten and preschool?
Yes.
Okay, and then everything else in terms of, yeah, just kind of glancing from one to the other, all of the rest of the vacations and conferences, et cetera, align?
Draft one, the proposed last day is also the 13th. Mm-hmm. Or in draft two, the proposed last day is the 12th.
Yeah.
So that's the difference there. But the start date does put kindergarten on a Friday before Labor Day, which we have done in the past.
Right. I don't like that.
And the draft one has it starting after Labor Day.
So I love the idea of starting after Labor Day. I respect the fact that for some folks that takes us late in June. But if we start before Labor Day, I would not like the kindergartners to start and then go into a long weekend. I understand the feedback from the teachers before was that it was mixed either way. Mm-hmm. But I think it just makes a stressful experience for the parents, if not the child. And I've spoken to some families who found it very difficult last year in terms of the experience at home and prepping to go back.
I do agree with that.
Alrighty, so if what I'm hearing, it doesn't sound like anybody wants to proceed with calendar two, which had the first start dates on the 27th and 28th for students and staff, and kindergarten starting on the 30th.
Right.
Okay.
Or calendar three.
In calendar three, I know, I would be very hard pressed to ever vote again to start school after Labor Day, given 2015. And I know we have started before Labor Day, I think with great success since 2016. And so I am not a fan of calendar three, but I am, and Nancy, since you, did you want to eliminate three?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a couple of us who would be comfortable eliminating three today, but I'm not hearing that unanimously, so. Oh. I want to be respectful of everybody.
I will support that. I do think at some point we revisit it if we continue to not really have a lot of snow days, because I do think it's equally hot at the end of August and challenging. And it also has all of the earlier we start, the earlier all the sports teams start, the earlier they're out in the heat running in the middle of August. So I just think there's balancing.
Dictated by MIAA. It doesn't, our school start date doesn't affect athletics.
It does dictate how long they can spend though, because they're not in class. So I do think for now I am supportive of the decision. Okay. But I do think that it gives opportunity at some point to change that.
I have a feeling though that we're gonna get it slammed.
We mean very well. I actually would support that. I would love to.
I don't support it, but I think it's going to happen.
Okay. All righty. Any other comments or questions then before we move a vote to eliminate, to not move forward with calendars two or three? Okay. So I would like to make a motion then to eliminate calendars two and three, and then to reconsider calendar one at a future meeting, at the next meeting, with the consideration of, as we discussed, sure, the elementary conferences on the 21st and 22nd.
Okay, so the start of school for 1 through 12 will be the 29th of August.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For students, assuming that that at our next meeting we approve calendar one.
Right.
Nothing
right.
changes in
And then
so unofficially,
yes, right.
That's what it looks like. Yes.
Right. And then kindergarten is September 3rd.
Yes.
Okay.
And preschool September 5th.
Is there any considerations on calendar one from anyone else that we should be considering before we, from feedback you've received or anything else before we narrow down to that calendar, but with the half day question?
No.
Like anything else we should know about before we narrow
no.
down? We
no.
discussed it. We didn't get your
no, I think
reminder
the,
input.
The only thing, we answered the three questions that you all had.
Yep.
I'll email the principals again and see if the elementary principals especially to see if they wouldn't mind moving the 14th and 15th days, the elementary principals and the middle school principal, to change them to the 21st and 22nd. And then once that is confirmed, then that would be the final question we have on this, but this is a great time that while we're waiting for everyone to triple and quadruple check, even though we had many, many eyes on it, and you know, there might be something that we didn't catch. So I would highly recommend everybody to keep checking. But I think we got it right.
I think that by making most of the making the district 21st and 22nd half days, the 25th and 26th are going to be very few students in class.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of kids that don't go away.
Yep.
There are.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are. They stay.
Mm-hmm. Because that's going to.
You'll have some, but you always have some. So.
I remember that.
Alrighty, so so just because it's complicated, so I'll make a motion to, so I'll reiterate the motion to proceed with re-looking at calendar one, and we are not moving forward with calendar two and three at this time.
DeLuca, second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Oh, more calendar fun. Okay, so next up is a vote to change the April 4th and April 25th meeting dates, school committee meeting dates. So Dr. Cabal?
So as we're getting toward the midpoint of our budget season, toward the end of our budget season, we are now planning backwards from when we need to have a balanced budget. It is a very difficult budget season, and so we're asking for a couple of school committee changes to accommodate specifically the trajectory of the budget presentations. So we have a public hearing, which happens annually in conjunction with the finance committee and the select board. Unfortunately, that conflicts with the school committee meeting. And so we're asking to move the meeting the day before. I usually like to get a vote on the school department budget from the school committee before it's presented to that joint board. And then the second request is for earlier in April. Our next school committee meeting is scheduled for April 4th. We are working very hard with the town to make reductions that don't have significant impacts on student services. And I believe we're going to need an extra week for that. And so we're requesting that we move the April 4th meeting that has been scheduled to April 11th for that purpose.
Okay. All righty. So I know, I think some school committee members had some comments or feedback on the 11th. So we can hold that for a minute. So for April 25th, you do want to point out that we do know that that falls during Passover, but the first two nights of Passover are the 22nd and 23rd. So the 24th would not fall on one of those first two nights of Passover, just in case anybody's wondering about some of the spring holidays that are commonly observed.
So currently we are on the 25th, but we want to move to the 24th.
Yes, and that would allow the school committee to vote on the proposed budget before we have the joint meetings with the school committee has joint meetings with the select board and the finance committee, and that's scheduled for the 25th. So we would have the opportunity to vote first. So
we are reviewing that at the meeting prior for any feedback and input.
Yes. Okay. Yep. And you know, given how the process typically goes, and Dr. Cabral can jump in here, but I would imagine that what we see on, you know, the week of the 11th or whenever that gets rescheduled will still be tentative, possibly, because it's a moving target.
I'm hoping right now, combined with the town, we have over a $2 million deficit with where we're currently at in our request for next year. We're working together to try to reduce that deficit. I
very much hope it's done by the 11th. If it's not, we will still have some pencil sharpening to do between the 11th and the next meeting 2 weeks later.
Okay, so so I guess we'll vote these together, but regarding the 24th, do any committee members have any concerns or issues about being able to attend that? Okay.
Not.
All right. And then, so in terms of moving the April 4th meeting to the following week, that is, let's see, the 11th is right before vacation week. Let's see. So any committee, are any committee members unable to attend on the 11th? I just want to make sure. Okay. So Kelly would be unable to attend. Anybody else want to make sure that we would at least have a quorum on the 11th?
I would need to check my flight.
Okay.
But I think I leave on Friday, so I think I'm okay.
Okay, but so the 11th could potentially be an issue, and then...
Is the 10th better?
Yeah, would the 10th work?
I leave on the night of the 10th, so it would be challenging for me. I would be in the air, so I would not be able to listen in to get up to speed in preparation for the 24th.
Okay. So you think you may be traveling either Friday or Saturday? Thursday or Friday, Lauren?
I think it's Friday.
You think it's Friday?
I can check.
Okay. Okay. Nancy, do you have any conflicts?
No.
Okay. All righty. And so you're leaving on the 10th.
What? I leave at night that night, so I could do the 9th, but I could not do the 10th or 11th.
Okay. Dr. Cabral, would the 9th be possible, or would that not give enough time to get all the information together?
I certainly can present what we have at that time. I do think, I'm trying to look it up right now, but I do believe that that is an Islamic holiday.
Yeah,
it no, is Ramadan.
It's the 10th.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, and the 9th is the last day of Ramadan.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see. Okay. So, Kelly, we certainly want you to be as prepared as possible for the further discussion that we have going into it. Would you be comfortable with being able to listen to the recording and view the presentation and then have any questions that come up maybe addressed in the interim?
Yeah.
If we can't do the 9th?
I mean, certainly happy, of course, to be prepared for the 24th by watching the session. I would just need to work through the appropriate processes to follow up on any questions so that I don't fail to have the opportunity to do so going into the 24th.
Okay.
I had not anticipated that when planning.
Okay.
Just given the change in dates.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
We could potentially move the STEAM team meeting if you prefer the 9th.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we could definitely move that. Don't worry about that.
I'm good for the 11th. You're good for the 11th. Okay, what was the STEAM
team? We have a STEAM team meeting on the 9th, but that could be moved if the 9th works for everybody.
Okay.
I defer to the other committee members. I think I will certainly prepare in advance. So as long as we have a process by which it's appropriate to ask questions, you all know the process better than I do on how best to do that, then that would work fine.
Okay. So let's see, just making sure. So the 10th, is the 10th the actual, the holiday that ends Ramadan, or the 9th? Is that one that's celebrated at the eve of? I just want to be mindful of any members of the public.
I'm not 100% sure, but okay. The 10th is Eid.
Yep. Okay. And the 11th.
I believe it. And the morning of the 10th, based on what I'm understanding from my calendar, but I would have to spend more time on it.
Okay. Okay. And Dr. Cabral, can you remind me the 10th is, or the meeting that we are looking to move earlier in the month, does that serve as our public hearing on the budget, or is the public hearing on the budget the one that we'll have on the 24th?
The 24th.
Okay.
This is a preliminary presentation of where we are on that date.
Okay. Okay. Alrighty. So I think I'm more sensitive about holidays for the public hearing meeting than, you know, the rest of it. Do we have conflicts among the committee? So, okay.
And is that a joint meeting with select board?
The 24th? No.
Oh, okay.
So that's just us. And then the 25th is a joint meeting with select board and finance committee.
Okay.
So are we meeting on the 24th and 25th then?
Yes.
Education, getting up to speed.
Yes.
Person who asks questions. So we would move our meeting to the 24th. I feel slow.
Right.
I would move our meeting to the 24th, but then we would also meet again in a joint meeting on the 25th.
Yes.
Now I get it.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And at that meeting, the school committee doesn't, you know, we're there, we're observers. We can certainly ask questions, but it is mostly run by the select board.
Okay. And that is 6 p.m. as well?
I don't know if we have the exact time for that. We haven't gotten an invite. I can check the website, I guess, and see.
I can find it later.
Dr. Cabral or Rand, if you know.
It's okay.
It says 7 o'clock on Dr. Cabral's calendar.
Yeah, I believe it's.
Thank you.
And is that at
Frothingham.
Frothingham Hall? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to just double check what we did last year, but I believe that's what happens. Yes, we can look and see. It's plenty of precedent for that one. Okay, so back to the 4th. Let's see. So 9th, 10th, or 11th. So 9th. So 9th would get most of the committee members to be able to attend. But may
cut cutting short it close,
the amount of final information that you would have.
Well, you're going to get another presentation on the 25th, but
and the 24th.
Yeah. The 24th, excuse me. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not necessarily going to be asking for a vote on the 9th.
Okay.
but I will be able to give you an update. I just don't want you to be too alarmed if we're not finished.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's working to the last minute this year.
Okay.
I defer to the seasoned school committee members on the last way to approach this.
Okay. So I think where it's not our final vote, final meeting, and there's no vote required, I'd be amenable to doing it on the 9th, so that way as many committee members as possible can participate.
The other thing I was going to bring up, that April meeting, if I'm not mistaken, April 24th is going to be our first meeting after elections.
Yes.
Which is reorganization if we need to, but I don't know. I don't know what the protocol is for that. So
it's been that. I think it's been that way.
Yeah.
For the past.
But I mean,
few years.
So if okay, I'm just pointing that out. That not only will we have the budget presentation, we'll also have reorganization.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember
which is
my very first meeting was walking into
the budget.
A very heated budget discussion. So, okay.
All right, so the 9th?
Unless, Lauren, do you have a strong feeling either way? Marvel, does your availability?
I can make anything.
Okay, all right. Appreciate the flexibility. Okay.
Would that be 6 o'clock as well?
Yes, I think that works for everybody, unless there's a time that would work, you know, better. I don't know if you all had any other conflicts, if something that needs to be moved. Okay. All righty. So then would somebody like to make a motion to move the April 4th meeting to April 9th at 6 p.m. and the April 25th meeting to April 24th at 6 p.m.?
So moved. Perthew.
Second, DeLuca.
And all in favor?
Aye.
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 May I ask a question?
Of course.
We approved a few weeks ago the schedule of school committee meetings for next year.
Yes.
Should we revisit our April dates for next year, given what we learned about this year? I have no idea what they are because they're in this pile.
We won't have to worry about budget at all.
I love how Lauren says it's going to snow and you say we're going to have money because it's like raining everything this year.
I think we can take.
Just be worth taking a quick peek at.
Yeah, we're always at the mercy of what our partners in town are our scheduling. So,
right. Yes. I was thinking more of giving sufficient window to prep that if we have to move the April dates tighter together, mm-hmm. to give the team more time to prep the budget.
Yep.
I don't recall how we.
Yeah.
We I have a stack here somewhere, see. But we may just want to look because we get ahead of that.
Yeah.
After that, throughout the rest of our colleagues. Mm-hmm.
Good point. Okay. So next item on the agenda is a continuation of our discussion from the last meeting about possibly adopting some resolutions or advocating for some resolutions that are expiring from MASC. So we went through the various items last 2 weeks ago and so just leaving this as an open item in case any committee members have had time to take a look through. And if you feel like you would like us as a committee to take up any of these resolutions to advocate for them at the state level. So I think if I recall correctly from reading the minutes last week, we had some interest in resolution 2 from 2019. Which was pertaining to educator diversity and professional licensure, school transportation, which was resolution 3 from 2019. I think resolution 5, which was full funding of transportation costs for students in foster care. I know those stood out.
Minutes to see what else had sparked interest.
Can you remind me what our commitment is if we adopt one?
Yes, so that's a good question. It would be, I think, a new process for us. So I would do a little bit of learning first to see how much of a commitment it takes to move forward with a resolution. It may be as simple as just taking a vote on it and submitting perhaps some paperwork or reaching out to MASC to let them know. These resolutions, fortunately, are already written. They were already approved by a committee. They were already approved by the MASC delegates. So I think it would be less onerous than if we were to decide to write a resolution,
right.
which is a bit of an undertaking.
Right.
So it may be just as simple as us reaching out, and I can do that, reach out to just find out more about what is required.
Should we do that before we vote on one?
I can
know what we're signing up for
between now and the next meeting. Are there any, I guess though, while any feedback, and certainly from Dr. Cabral and Mrs. Pruitt, are there any here that you think align with maybe MASS resolutions or conversations that we're having with our legislative delegation or particular topics that you would like us to make sure that MASC continues to press forward on to the extent that we can influence that?
Both transportation items.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me just look through.
Apply to us directly.
Why a district who once supported something would no longer want to support it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's more that they it's just sort of a process thing where they're expiring, right? So they need a certain number, at least a district, to move forward with these, and then if at least five districts come forward.
So we're not saying that, like, for resolution 1, say, like, Silver Lake could still want it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought
they were giving it up.
No. So it's just that the resolutions used to be, they would just kind of last into perpetuity. So this is just a way of kind of cleaning up and making sure that MASC is focusing only on those resolutions.
Got it. Okay. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
That the current body still advocates for.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's new and
takes two meetings for me to understand. But I'll get there.
That's quite all right. So let me just make sure I've noted. So there was 2 and 3 from 2019, or 2 that were called out. And let's see. So I think 5 makes sense there as well. And then Yeah, so no vote today, but I'll get more information on what is involved and if we do decide to vote to move any of these forward.
I would also like to say resolution 6 about the Medicare revenue getting 100%.
Yes.
I think I posed this last time too. Are any of these, do we feel that any of these tie closely to our values in such a way that we would want to consider supporting them as well?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that resolution 2, which is the diversity, educator diversity, certainly.
That was on my mind as well.
Yeah, that's something that we have. It's, you know, it's part of our current strategic plan.
Yep.
It's you know, a huge topic in our planning of the next strategic plan. And,
there's a similar one, the anti-racism one, but.
Yes,
from would 2020. Fall into a similar, yes.
Yes.
So resolution 3 from 2020.
Yes.
Falls into that as well, that I thought may be relevant, but again, it would really depend upon what the undertaking is.
Yep. Yeah, and that one that. I recall as the school committee, we adopted that resolution within our own committee. Yeah, some of these, it's there have been, and this is some work that I can do as well, is to look at what was proposed for 2023, because some of these do echo resolutions that may have been passed recently as well. So there could be some redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we can leave this on the agenda then for the next meeting. I'll provide an update on what exactly is involved, and then maybe we can, if we choose to, move some of these forward to advocate for.
Is there a timeline by which we need to make this decision?
That's a great question. I did not see anything on the information around this. I know the resolution process is something that goes on throughout the spring, and then there's a resolution committee that meets later in the spring and into the summer that finalizes resolutions that go before the annual delegation in November. So it's a long process, and I did not see a deadline on this specific portion of it. So
mindful of our important agenda topics in April.
Yes.
I do think, not that I would necessarily think of this automatically, but I think resolution 4 from 2020, lowering the voting age for municipal elections. Reading the submission, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue with the logic that they presented.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That with their reasoning, I would never have said, oh yeah, let's lower the age of eligibility to vote, but
yeah, it does make sense, especially given the civics programs that are underway and the considerations there. It does feel like a very logical thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard to understand if it's looking for how much we all want to stand behind it with other towns. That's very different than additional efforts to put forward resolutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will come back with more info on what the process entails. Let's see. And Marvel, by the way, if there's anything in those that you think would be of interest to you or the rest of the Student Advisory Committee, please feel free to, you know, if you have the opportunity to meet with them between now and our next meeting to get their feedback. I'd just be curious to see if there's anything that stands out as like, oh, you know, that would be a really great idea if this moved forward. Thank you. Alrighty. Next up, public comment, and we do not have any members of the public still here today. Superintendent notes, Dr. Cabral.
Marvel did a wonderful job highlighting a lot of the honors that I was going to speak about. So thank you, Marvel. I did want to just note that the hopefully first annual job fair was held at the Blant James Elementary School last weekend. I want to just give a particular shout out to HR Director Christina DiNapoli for her incredible organization skills, and also to the DEIA Director Carlos Perez for volunteering us and getting us involved with the process through the MPDE, the Massachusetts Partnership for Diversity in Education. We met some wonderful people. We had great turnout. Over 50 schools were represented. We had, I have no idea how many candidates came through, but it was a lovely day. We were able to talk to lots of people, and we collected dozens and dozens and dozens of really exciting resumes to fill positions that are being vacated to retirements and such. So we were very excited about that, but we're hoping to continue this regularly. And I will leave the rest of the announcements to this great team here who can speak.
Thank you. Alrighty. Assistant Superintendent, Superintendent, Mrs. Ruth.
Thank you. So today we had a wonderful program at Richardson Olmsted School, sponsored through the District Attorney Thomas Quinn's office. We're very thankful to District Attorney Quinn for the sponsorship of this program. It's called Boston versus Bullies. And Brian Rose, a former Red Sox pitcher, sorry, had to get that out, Red Sox pitcher.
As you all know,
I'm a Yankee fan. But he actually came and spoke to the students and talked to them about bullying. There was a wonderful video that was shown to the kids, and he was just so engaging. And he was absolutely fantastic with the kids. The kids were speechless and just listening and intrigued by him, which was wonderful. He is coming to the middle school on April 11th to do this program as well. He also adapted some of the programming midway through to talk a little bit more Easton specific, which was great. But he talked about cyberbullying. He talked about why kids bully, and if you are bullying, what you can do immediately, which is stop. But he was great. He was absolutely great. And he has children of his own. He could relate. And we're very thankful to District Attorney Quinn for doing that. District Attorney Quinn is also going to be coming to the high school for more specific programming, which I'll explain at a later date, because they're finalizing it with Mrs. Kavanaugh as we speak in May. So he himself will be coming to speak to the high school students, which will be great.
Will there be any opportunity for something for parents?
I will talk with him. If you've ever had an opportunity to meet District Attorney Quinn, he's a great guy and very invested in schools and being proactive. I've spoke with him a few times. The first time he called, I was a little nervous. What did I do? Call on a Saturday? No, but he was laughing. He's very invested in that. And so I will check with his office. Might be something new for them. The other announcement I have for you, just save the date. Our annual STEAM night for preschool through grade 2 students will be May 3rd. We're finalizing the time. Currently we have 6:30 to 8, but I'll get back to you on that. And it will be the first time at Blant James Elementary School. We're so excited. It's traditionally been at Richardson Olmsted because of the division of the three schools and the space required. And so this year we are going to have it at Blant James. We already have over 20 stations that will be there. We have the Traveling Planetarium from the Brockton Library is coming. So we're very excited about that event and all the fun activities for the kids. As you know, those of you that have been in attendance, it is highly popular, and we are just trying to keep that going. It was a wonderful idea when Dr. Cabral was the assistant superintendent of hers, and it's been one of the very many fun things I've taken over, but this is one of my favorite. So we're very excited about that.
Can I ask you a question? I feel like it's very appropriate for through grade 5. Like, why do we limit it saying that it's K through two.
Yeah, so it's traditionally been PK through two. A lot of the activities are focused more towards the younger learners. However, we welcome everybody. If older kids want to attend, absolutely they can attend. You know, they have the passports, and it is a little bit more focused for that age group. But I remember a couple years ago students saying to me, but I'm not going to be in second grade next year. Can I still come? And I said, absolutely. You know, come, definitely. So we definitely see older kids attend as well.
Is it appropriate for those who will be entering kindergarten next year to join as well?
Well, preschool.
Preschool, who are not enrolled in preschool with through Blaine James.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have younger students attending, younger children. Mm-hmm. Many of them come with their siblings, so absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, siblings are welcome. We always tell the kids we don't card, so they can absolutely come. We don't turn anyone away.
Right.
They are very fun and engaging activities. They are appropriate for toddlers all the way up to fifth or sixth grade, honestly.
Right.
The reason we open it up officially is because, honestly, because so many people come.
Right.
And we wouldn't have enough space for everybody. But we have thought about having also a three through six, but that would be the next phase, as well as a literacy night. But these are all plans for the future.
Yes.
So unless you know, as a RO parent, you're not going to know.
Right. It's really tailored for pre-K to two.
Right. It is tailored for pre-K to two.
Okay.
And the STEAM team, we've met, you know, quite a few times this year, and they are looking at reinstating, for example, an activity at the middle school that has been on hiatus, the mm-hmm. career, the job fair that they had there, not job fair, but the career day.
And career then, exploration day.
Career exploration, yes. And then we have been talking about three through five as well. Oh, that was STEAM. Yes, that was wonderful. The company that provided all of that to us, that was through i2 Learning, and they are now charging us for it. However, we are still doing many components of the program mm-hmm. because Erin Daly, our wonderful science curriculum leader at the middle school, has really taken off with it, and she is working with the science teachers. It's a little bit on a smaller scale, but we do that after MCAS,
yep.
where we have a week long of fun science activities.
That's what all the supplies.
Did you participate in that?
Yeah,
you must have, yeah.
That's what all the supplies were from, right?
Yes, that's what all the supplies were from. But yes, they are charging us now for it, and it's a very high cost. And so Ms. Daly said, we can do this, we got this. So
great.
Yes, yeah.
Anything else? You need
That's to all I have up tonight for you.
School committee notes. Nancy?
I figure you're going to do sports and music, so I have nothing to say.
Okay.
I'm good.
Alrighty. Kelly?
So I did have the opportunity last week to attend the EMS art show. Jen and I were actually there together, so I don't want to steal her thunder, but
no,
I'll cover the
no,
art
please,
show.
No, please cover
it. It was wonderful. It was the Night of the Arts. And it was just wonderful to see the kids getting to celebrate and show off what they had done. There was a lot of just absolutely incredible art from the eighth graders. Very, very impressive to see the seventh graders. I can't believe just how quickly the kids progressed through all of this. And the sixth grade art was really just like so closely tied to what you saw from the eighth graders, but the progression over the 3 years was also very marked as well. So it was very, very impressive to sort of see the 3 year progression on their journey there. Very well represented from all of the kids. Great representation there, and good to see a lot of parents coming by as well. I then switched places with Dr. Cabral and had the chance to go over to the kindergarten registration night. So I was able to join a lot of parents. I was very surprised, maybe just after all the years in the district, Principal Cedarbaum asked how many families were new. And I would say at least a third or more raised their hands. So it is a very exciting wave of families joining the school system. For anyone who did not make it and is watching this and catching up, it is exciting to see that now families will register on Aspen to actually, so they will begin their journey on Aspen with kindergarten registration all the way through. And so they'll register on Aspen, and there was a very nice reminder from Principal Cederbaum just to make sure that you do register as soon as possible, just so they can get a sense of the enrollment for the year. But it was great to get the overview. I did have a good chuckle when he said he couldn't give any of the start of the year dates because the school committee hadn't put the calendar yet. But other than that, it was very nice to see that. I have to say the cafeteria was packed with families. So very excited to see, and everyone got to see the school, which was wonderful as well.
Can I just, I just want to share the online registration process. I just want to give credit to our new Director of Instructional Technology, Olivia Ramos, and our data specialist, Karen Malika. They have been working tirelessly on this with a team of people. And so they really have worked hard at getting this up and running. So we're really excited about it.
It looks very intuitive, very simple to do, and saves a lot of back and forth for any members coming in with paperwork, back and forth to the school system, trying to go during school hours. It is a much simpler process now. So I commend them for that.
Okay, great. Lauren?
So I and Nancy are members of the Municipal Building Committee, and we had a meeting this week, and we saw a so plans are drawn, design plans are underway, and we saw a really cool fly through of this of the outdoor space. So they're still working on interior, so once they finish with the interior, they're going to make that available to the public on their website. So I encourage everyone to see that when it's made available, because it was really cool. What else? So parent conferences, I went to my RO parent conference today. It was lovely, and the signing up process was a new process, and it went very well. Of picking the time slots, it's the same system that they use in the middle school, not high school. And what else? Shrek is this weekend. I am very excited. It's going to be so good. I'm very particularly excited for the photo op that is going to happen on Sunday. If you have tickets to the Sunday matinee, it's a $10 fee to take photos with the main characters. Have your little ones take pictures with the main characters. So that will be very cute. And that is all I have right now.
Okay, great. Let's see, a few updates from the past couple of weeks. Let's see, robotics had their first competition this weekend. They did extremely well. They finished 9th out of 36 teams in the preliminary round and moved on to semifinals before getting eliminated. But they have another competition coming up in a few weeks. Additionally, the team won the Image and Safety Awards, and one student from OA was a semifinalist for a Dean's List Award at this weekend's competition. So great job, robotics. It's one of the best performances they've had as a team in many years. So great job there. Girls basketball gave us a very exciting season. So they were unfortunately eliminated in the Final Four. But great season, really exciting. And thank you to the students, coaches, families, and everybody who's involved with making that happen. Let's see. Talked about the jazz bands. We'd read Across America Day. So I think a few of us were able to go and read to students at Blanche Ames. And I have to give a shout out to Mr. Craig Davidson for showing up in a cow costume to read Click Clack Moo, which is a favorite book of my kids, and I certainly never donned a cow costume while reading it, so points to him for that. And then the CPAC had a session, a parent session earlier this week that was presented by
Joanna Silverman, who is a district parent and an educator outside of the district on understanding the emotional brain. It was such good information. So really, really good. We can follow up, but a couple people in the room asked if this could be a PD.
Yeah, she's remarkable.
Yeah.
She actually participated. She was a speaker during our equity series as well a few years ago.
Yep. So it was a wonderful reset for, I think, people who are dealing with really anybody, right? Not just kids, but even if your kids are young adults like mine or dealing with other relationships. So we thank the CPAC and Ms. Silverman for making that wonderful presentation. Let's see. And upcoming items, musical this weekend. I've got my tickets. I'm very excited. Let's see. So is there a DEIA meeting next week? Is that confirmed? I think it's on for the 26th as a virtual meeting.
It's on the calendar, yes.
Okay.
But I'm for, oh no, wait a second. Yep. Yes, it's on the calendar.
Okay,
yes.
Yep. So that'll be May 26th.
I just want to note that is a virtual option.
Yes.
We haven't had, they've all been in person, but in an effort to make them as inclusive as possible, this one will be virtual.
Thank you.
Great. Yes. Yep. Yep. And I know our director of the DEIA office will send out an email that'll have all the information for the meeting, how to join that meeting. So looking forward to that. The budget subcommittee will meet on April 3rd, so right in the midst of all the budget stuff. So we'll have more conversations about that. And then thank you to Mr. Auger for inviting the school committee to the eighth grade civics presentation next Tuesday morning. So hopefully some of us will be able to visit
Tuesday. It's not a presentation. It's they're going to ask us questions.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they are working on drafting them now.
Okay. All right, great.
And then if it's anything like last year, they have some really good questions.
There are some fascinating questions being raised. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved going to the showcase last year and seeing, just the questions they had, what they were thinking about was really, really incredible for kids that age. So, and asked a lot of really great questions. It's like, oh, you know what? That's good thoughts.
And just to note also, I have been participating in some of these professional developments with people throughout the country, and this is very unique to Massachusetts, these civics projects. When I talk about the civics projects to my colleagues throughout the country, they're just in awe that Massachusetts has taken this leap towards civics education. So it is a blessing that we have that here in Massachusetts. Yeah.
And then just two other quick items. The MASC has done two virtual workshops in the past couple of weeks. So other committee members, if you weren't able to attend and maybe of interest, they are recorded and the materials are online. One of them was on Chapter 70, the Student Opportunity Act, and had there was some information I think that was helpful for us, especially for those who are newer, kind of understanding how the state budget process works and some of the factors that influence what we see in our budget formula. It went into a lot about high level things like the way that the state collects data on low income families. So using data from MassHealth and from other data sources and how that can influence what school funding looks like on a district by district basis is interesting. So that I know that the recording for that is up. I registered, so I got the recording, so I can share that out with you if we need it. Okay, great. And then they had, there was another session last night. I forget the topic, but I also received a note that they'll be releasing the recording and the materials on that. So I'll share that out. Okay, all right.
Just one update on the robotics team. It's actually a competition this weekend.
Okay. All right.
So wish them luck on that.
Good luck, robotics. I think that is everything. All right. Yes. a lot of good stuff happening always, right? Like, the amount of stuff we have going on here just never ceases to
happen. Never.
So, alrighty. So with that, our next meeting is now on April, what did we decide, April 9th?
Yes.
6 p.m. And I will make a motion to adjourn. Can we get a second?
Second, DeLuca.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Feel better, Dr. Herbal.
Yeah, everybody feel better.
Thank you.
Thank you.